I want to talk to you, continue to talk to you today about higher. Somebody say higher. And we spent 2 weeks on this because it really needs to be talked about. Because what we do is we do that, what we showed you last week, those infielders. You got the first baseman, you got the third baseman, you got the shortstop, you got the second baseman, all coming in to catch the ball, and nobody catches it. It drops in front of all of them. Because each one is thinking the other one is going to do something. In our Christendom, we think God is going to do something. And the Bible says, according to 1 Peter, that God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. What do you think is, what words jump out to you when I say that? Everything. That's a that is a great word. What else? Given. Has given. Yeah, God is a giver. You know what? Give in. Given. What is that? Come on, my English students. That's past tense. Somebody say past tense. See, he has given us. Then we read in the Bible. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And we went over a lot of these scriptures. We look at the man with the withered hand. And Jesus, imagine the guy's got a withered hand. You know what Jesus says to him? Stretch out your hand. What is this? This is a joke, Jesus? What are you doing? He goes to raise Lazarus from the dead. But he doesn't. With all the power that he has, he doesn't roll away the stone. He prays over he asks the people there to roll away the stone. He's got a guy who comes up to him and he says, "You know what? My servant is so sick, they're to the point of death." And Jesus says, "Okay, I'll go over to your house." And he says, "You don't have to go over to my house. All you have to do is speak a word." See, the power is in the word of God. What was the power to have Peter walk on the water? It was one word that came out of Jesus' mouth. The Bible says, "My word won't return to you void, but it'll do the very thing that he set it out to do." God is looking for us. It's a Greek word. It means say the same as God says, homologeo. He's asking us to come. He says, pray this way, that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? See, God is looking for people who will take his word and actively say, "You know what? I'm going to be part of the solution. I understand that what God has given me." And so we spent the last 2 weeks just talking about this. How many have been encouraged the last 2 weeks as you come and recognize, you know what, that the all-powerful God has said, "You know what? I'm looking for you to take authority on this earth. I'm looking for you to take authorities on this earth." To understand that a loving, caring God, Jesus said it like this. He said, "It's good that I go to the Father, because when I go, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit." The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says, is the same Spirit that lives inside of us. These are all scriptures that all of us should just know. But we've been bombarded with this, you know what, with this thought of an all-powerful God, you know what, and we're waiting on him. And he has shown us, his revelation is in his word. His revelation is to say, "You know what? I've given you everything you need for life and godliness. Now go into all the different parts of the world and make disciples in my name and teach them." Why here? Why do you think we have communion? Why do you think Jesus taught us to take communion until he comes back? Do you know why? Does anybody know why? Why? To remind us what he did on the cross. Don't forget all my benefits, the Bible says in Psalms. The Psalms told us. So we just have to remember. These are things that we'll look at another scripture today. You know what? But I want to teach you today, we can go to a higher place. I want to teach you today. It won't take me long to teach this. But I want to teach you today, in a practical sense, there are things that are hindering you from going to a higher place. I'm going to teach you one, but this is a huge one. And if you'll understand it, you can go to a whole higher place. How many ever been trying to get somewhere and you go, I was going somewhere the other day. Oh, I was so irritated. you know what? I'm trying to get on the freeway and they block the freeway. Amen. Am I the only one that irritates? Man, it's just like, you know what? Are you kidding me? You know what? Tamara and I were going to visit my oldest daughter, and we were driving, and at this one place, it got real slow, and all the four lanes went down to one lane. I was so irritated, and I got irritated because, you know what? I'm waiting to see. Where's the accident? What happened? What are they working on? Boom, 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 boom. They had it all coned off. We get all done. No accident. I didn't see one worker out there doing anything. I thought, how rude that you're going to inconvenience all of us, take away all that time, times all those people, and there's nothing even being done. I just was livid. You know, I know you don't get that way, but I get that way sometimes. Okay. I get that. Yeah, especially when I'm in my car. Praise the Lord. But I was just like, what in the world? Let me tell you what. There's something that can hinder you from going to a higher place. And I don't want that to hinder you. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 2 today. Jeremiah chapter 2. And as you're going to Jeremiah chapter 2, guys in the back, go to Joshua chapter 1:8. In the back, you're going to go to, everybody here, go to Jeremiah 2, and we're going to look at that. But as we're looking at that, I just want to remind you, Jeremiah 1:8 first. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you might observe according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Wow, how many know that's a great scripture? What I want to teach you today is we've got to be focused. Somebody say focus. Come on, y'all here today. Somebody say focus. There's got to be a focus. Here, all lies up here. Let me teach you something. There's this casualness. You know what I mean? When I go to the grocery store, I'm not casual. I'm focused. You know what I mean? I want ding-dongs. I know where the ding-dongs are. I want to get the ding-dongs and get out. Amen? When I go to the store with my wife, we're not focused. Amen? You know what? We'll look at the bread. And, oh, look at this bread. And, oh, look at that bread. And then we'll come over here and, oh, let's look at the crackers. And then let's look at the crackers. And then let's look at the olives. And I'm like, honey, I don't live here. I want to get out. You know what I mean? Get what you need. Let's go. You know, how many know sometimes in our Christian life, it's not focused. It can just be this kind of casualness. Come on, how many here hearing what I'm saying? There's this casualness. I don't see this at all. I don't see this at all in the scripture. Look how diligently focused he's saying. And look at the results. Look what it says. This book of the law, that's the Bible, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. You know what gets me between, you know what there is between, you know what there is besides day and night? Nothing. See, what is God saying? He's saying, I want you to be focused that there's this meditation on the word all going on in your life all the time. But you're focusing on the word, watch this, to observe, to do according to all that is written in it. Understand, we're coming to church, we're learning about the things of God. I want to learn about what God's ways are that I can go and apply them. Amen. Somebody say apply them. James says, don't be a hearer of the word. Don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. Ooh, I know what it says in Ephesians 4:6. I know what it says in Philippians 4:16. I know what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10. I know what it says in, okay, great. But are you doing any of those things? See, watch. You're meditating on it day and night, but watch this. That you may observe to do according to. Remember the Bible said, yeah, but Pastor, but I thought the Bible said my children die from a lack of knowledge. I'm not saying that knowledge isn't important, that you understand God's ways. What I'm saying is, you know what, read the second part. They understand the knowledge, but they reject the knowledge. That's what the next part of that says. See, it's not about what you know, it's about what you apply. I said, it's not about what you know, it's what you apply. Amen? Oh, great, you got a flat. Well, praise God you got a flat, but can you get out and fix the flat? Oh, come on, preach it, Pastor. Do you understand? That's where the application is. That's where we've got to. And this, and what is God saying to, who is this speaking to? Here, I'll give you a hint. Speaking to Joshua. Joshua is about to be told some of the wackiest instructions militarily ever. He's about to be told, he's going to go into the first city, Jericho. He's going to go into Jericho, and here is God's advice. Here's how you're going to take Jericho. Walk around it each day, you know what, once for 7 days. The seventh day, after you do that, shout, and the walls will come down. All lies up here. Listen to me very carefully. If you're not tuned into the Spirit of God, you know what you're going to do? You're going to lean into your own understanding on that. You're going to say, thank you, God. What a stupid plan. Hey, am I the only one who have thought God's plans sometimes are stupid? Am I the only one? Come on. Come on, help me preach this. Am I the only one who sometimes, you know what, God will come up with something and I'll think, watch this. And here's the problem. How many know God is smarter than us? And I'm going to, watch this, I'm the almighty God, the all-wise God. It's going to filter through my brain. And I'm going to be the one who says. Well, how many know when that doesn't happen? It doesn't happen when I'm meditating on the word day and night. I'm meditating on the word day and night. Now, what am I? Jesus said, my words are spirit in their life. Now I'm tuning into the spirit, and that which doesn't make any sense becomes sensical. All of a sudden I'm thinking, I don't know. God's up to something. The supernatural God is going to cause those walls of Jericho to come down. God is going to do something. And all I have to do is be obedient to what God has asked me to do. And he's going to do a miracle. Oh my goodness. And then I get to with my wife. I say, honey, God is going to do a miracle. I'm taking this crazy thing. God was speaking to me. I was part of this great church. I was children's pastor. I was just God was blessing us so much, Tamara and I. And then God spoke to me and said, you know what, you're going to pastor the church that your dad pastored, a church that was in a 20-year decline pattern. Pastor, why did you do that? Because I thought that God was smarter than me. I'd been spending time with God, and I sense that this was going to be a great plan. See, you're not going to be obedient to God until you get into his frequency. And once you get into his frequency, you know what? Watch this. Watch what happens. You observe to do all that's written, and then for then, for when? After you're meditating on day and night, you got on this frequency. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have, you know what, good success. This prosperity is not some kind of Hollywood prosperity where you're driving in a nice car, but inside you're miserable. This is a prosperity where God has promised to take care of you inside and outside. Can you say amen to that? That's what God is, when he's talking about success, he's not talking about success the way the world talks about success. You know how many people have committed suicide now? You know what? And they're listening to all the things. They're doing all the things the world is telling them to do. You know what? It profits you nothing to do what the world is telling you. No profit at all. Amen. Somebody say higher. How many want to go to a higher place? The higher place that God has for us is locked in to a lifestyle where you're clinging to God, watch this, and you're letting loose of sin in your life. There's a focus. You say, Pastor, who are you talking to? I don't know. I'm just, I'm just telling you what I knew the Holy Spirit said, preach this message. I'm going to talk about sin today. I'm going to talk about sin that we hold on to. Because God has shown me this. I'll show it to you in the Word. To let go of the sin is to be able to hang on to God. It's like a trapeze artist. You know what I mean? He's swinging. That other guy's swinging. Gonna catch him. I can't catch you. Why? You never let go. You can't hang on to your sin. If you hang on to your sin, you know what? God won't be able to catch you. Because you won't let go of it. Amen. I'll show it to you in the Word. I'll show it to you in the Word. Amen. Have you found your place in Jeremiah yet? Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, what's this? This is the prophet Jeremiah. He's saying, God is giving me a prophetic word. The prophetic word is a prophetic word to Israel. Next verse. Go and cry in the hearing, go cry in the hearing of Jerusalem. I want you to proclaim this in Jerusalem, saying, here's what I want you to say. Thus saith the Lord. This is not saying what you want to say. This is saying God is speaking. How many believe God speaks to people? Yes. Well, that's what he's saying. God is saying, he's using Jeremiah. He's saying, all right, here's what I want you to say. Thus saith the Lord. This isn't you. This is God. I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love that of your betrothal, when you went after me in the wilderness. I remember how it used to be. I remember how much you used to love me. That's what God's saying. Tell Jerusalem, I remembered that. I remember when you went after me in the wilderness. There was this intentionality. There was this intentionality that you had. You went after me. I think to myself, you know what? I want to love my wife this month with more intentionality than I've ever loved her before. I don't want anybody looking at me thinking, man, when you know what, 20 something years ago when you were dating her, man, you were on it. But now you're like, whatever. You know what I mean? No. I want her to feel that I'm more intentional towards her than I ever did. You know what? That's what God wants from his betrothed, from his spouse, from his bride. But he's saying, tell them, I remember when you used to do that. We're going to see, but now you're not that way anymore. Next verse. In the land zone, next verse. Israel was holiness to the Lord, the first fruit of his increase. All that devour him will offend. Disaster will come upon them, says the Lord. Stay here. Stay there. He's saying, I remember when you were close to me and sin was far from you. You walked in holiness. Listen, don't let anybody tell you that you can't walk in holiness. I said, don't let anybody tell you you cannot walk in holiness. Enough of these crazy teachers on the internet that will just talk to you about how you always have to sin, always have to sin, always have to sin. Enough of that. It's a sin mentality. You know what? The psalmist said, as a man thinks in his heart, so shall he be. We need to have a righteousness mentality, not a sin mentality. Amen? I'm not saying that you're perfect, but I'm saying, you know what? You ought to recognize that you can be better this week than you were last week. Oh, come on. Somebody help me preach this. You ought to recognize that this year you can be more holy than last year. Amen? You have to recognize that if God has put this in front of you, if God has called us to be imitators of God, then we can be imitators of God. So he says, I remember when you walked in this holiness. Look at the next verse. Go to the next verse, guys. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of Israel. He wants Israel to hear this. Please hear what I'm saying. Next verse. Thus saith the Lord, that injustice, what? What injustice have your fathers found in me? What? Can I tell you what we do in our sin? We grab our sin, We keep a hold of our sin, and then we blame God that it's his fault that we're in the mess we're in. That's what he's saying. He's saying, "What?" He's being sarcastic here. He's saying, "I don't understand this. In what injustice have your fathers found in me?" You know, can we look into ourselves and recognize that God wants us to have a good life? You know, a lot of it is just bad attitudes. You know, enough. We'll get to that in a minute. But stop blaming God for all your mess. God is the solution. He's not the problem. Ooh, somebody tweet that. God is the solution. He's not the problem. Jesus said it like this in John 10. I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Satan is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know what? That they have gone, watch this, that they have gone far from me. Far from me. Say far from me. All eyes up here. I want to illustrate this. Let's say God's over here and I'm close to God. Maybe many of you remember time that you were really close to God. Maybe a season in your life. You're reading the Bible. You're spending time in God's Word. Here every Sunday and Wednesday, you're just close to God. But then something happened. It wasn't a major thing. It was just a minor thing. Something minor happened. And you started to step away from God just a little bit. And you still kind of felt close to God. But not as close as you used to be. And then something else happened, and you know, something else, and it wasn't evil. It wasn't like, oh, you know what, you're gonna, you know what, go to, you know, the church that worships Satan this week. It wasn't anything like that. But it was just a little busy. And as you got a little busy, Jesus faded out a little bit more. And then you got farther and farther and farther and farther away from God. And now you're far away from God, but watch this, but you don't even recognize how far away from God you are. God is telling Israel, guys, you're not close, you're far away from me. And they are far away from me and have followed idols and have become adulterous. You know, the Bible says you can't serve two masters, for you'll love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. See, here's what we think. We think we can serve two masters, but you can't. Next verse. Neither do they say, Lord, where's the Lord? See, you're over here. And you're so far from God, and you know what you're thinking? You're thinking about spaghetti, and you're thinking about, you know what, chimichangas, and you're thinking about, you know what, your nephew's birthday party, and you're thinking about the ticket that you got, that you were going too fast, and then you're thinking about, you know what I mean? You're like, you're so into life that here's what you don't say. You don't say, like, man, where's God? What happened to my closeness with? You're not even thinking that. You know why you don't say that? Because you're not thinking that way. Is this making sense to anybody? Where's the Lord? Who brought us up out? Oh, I love this. Who brought us up out of Egypt? Who led us through the wilderness, through the land of the desert and pits, through the land of drought and the shadow of death? Oh, what's he saying here? Here's what he's saying. Hey guys, what about me? What about that mess that you were in 4 weeks ago and I bailed you out? What about that mess that your kids were in 3 years ago and I bailed you out? What about all the caring and loving and all the giving and all the things that I did? I blessed you over and over and over and over again. What about that? See, can I tell you what you're hearing? You're hearing God through the prophet saying, hey guys, really? I do all this for you and you forget about me? You know what freaks me out more than any other Christian freaks me out? Christians that aren't grateful. I think Christians ought to be the most grateful people on the face of this earth. Amen. And I talk to Christians. I talk to Christians who will spend more time complaining about stupid, ridiculous things in their life. And I'm not saying some of those things aren't so stupid. How many know life can be tough sometimes? But every single day, on your worst day, you should have 10 things that just flow out of your mouth of gratitude for what God has done in your life. Amen. That is good. And what he's seeing is he's saying, guys, I did all this for you, and you know what? And you somehow can figure out a way to blame me. How many know in our lives we can figure out some reason why it's not our fault? And what's crazy is we can even blame a perfect God who's done nothing for us but love us and care for us. Amen. Through the land that no one crossed and there was no one dwelt. There nobody crossed that land, but I got you through that land. And you're not grateful. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. I brought you into a bountiful country to eat its fruits and its goodness. Let me tell you what I'm about. I want to have this contentment in your life, this provision in your life that I provided for you. That's my crime. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. How'd you do that? Watch this. Watch this. Is this crazy? Is this crazy? Yeah. How many know we can see other people's sin quicker than we can see our own sin? Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I look at Israel and say, Israel, you guys were crazy. And the Holy Spirit says, hey, you got some of that craziness inside yourself too, Bucky. Watch this. How did they make an abomination? Watch what happened. Next verse. The priest did not say, where is the Lord? He's saying, even the leadership should have been pulling you back to the things of God. But even they were far from God. And those who handled the law did not know me. Oh, let's stop here. Those who handled the law, can I tell you what? I want a pastor who pastors me, who might not be perfect, but is cultivating a relationship with Jesus himself. You can say a lot of things about me, but I love Jesus. And I spend time with him all the time. That's what I want. Day and night. The other day, true story. The other day, I was kind of sleeping, kind of not, but I became conscious. You ever drift in and out of consciousness? Like, oh, where am I? What, you know, you ever wake up, you're like, oh, what day is it? You ever wake up and like, where am I? What room am I in? Does that ever happen? Okay. So I'm kind of doing that. But I'm still very in unconsciousness. And here's what's coming out of my mouth. What am I doing? I'm praying in the Spirit. See, my mind doesn't, according to the Bible, my mind doesn't have to be fruitful. And I was like, oh my goodness. This is cool. I'm not saying there's not room for improvement, because I know there is. But I'm saying that I want to follow someone. I don't have to follow the smartest person in the world. I don't have to follow the tallest person in the world. But I want to follow someone who I know is cultivating a relationship with Christ. It's one of the reasons why these are the pastors of Esperanza. Because when I met Pastor George and Pastor Lydia, I knew They were a lot of things. Great communicators of the gospel, great lovers of their of people. A lot of great skill sets. But the main skill set that impressed me was this right here. It was a relational cultivation that he had with Christ. Amen. How can I tell you to do something, you know what, if I'm not doing it myself? It just doesn't hold any water. Are you learning something? Great question. The rulers who transgressed against me, the prophets, watch, the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Can I tell you what? Understand this. Sin in your life will not profit you. Get a handle on it. Stop thinking the world has something out there for you. Start to teach your kids. Start to teach your kids. Start to teach your kids when they're young. The world doesn't have anything out there. Because this is so important, because the world is teaching them just the opposite. So, oh, you know what? You got to do this. You got to follow that. You got to follow this. Teach them. Teach yourself. Remind yourself. How many know that Madonna was right? We live in a materialistic world. That great theologian, Madonna. She recognized something. We live in a crazy materialistic world, and it's so easy for us to get part of that. We have to teach our kids. That's not prosperity. You have a close relationship with God. That's what you want. That's what's valuable. That's what will cause the inside to be full of joy. I think I said this the first service. Here's a great definition of sin. When you start to think you're going to get your joy from something else besides Jesus Christ, that is sin. And it's fool's gold. And these people, watch this, everybody say not overnight. But it's amazing how quickly you can go from totally on fire from Christ to, oh, I'm not so bad, I'm not so bad, I'm not so bad. Oh, it's okay. I still love God, I still love God, I still love God, I still love God. Well, where are your actions? Where is God exactly? Oh, you love somebody you never hang out with? I said, you love somebody you never hang out with? Oh no, I love my wife. Haven't talked to her in 8 weeks, but I love her. You know, text her, hey, what are you on me? Text her. I texted her the other day. What are you talking about? You can't text your wife once every 6 months. Like, who are you fooling? Are you delusional? Sometimes we can get delusional. Amen. I'm glad you're here at church. I'm not ripping on you. I'm saying this is the prophet. And he's prophesying, and Israel, who were once not only close to God, they were walked in holiness. Now you know what they're doing? I therefore yet have this charge against you, says the Lord. And against the children's children, I bring charges. Look at this next verse. Look at the next verse. Look at number 10. For pass beyond the coast of Cyprus and see, send to Calder and consider diligently and see if there has been such a thing. He's saying, here, you know what he's saying? He's saying, look in the cities of the north, or I mean the east, and look at the countries of the west. And I want you to consider this, and you've never seen this. Watch this. Next verse. Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? Here's what he's saying. Out of the pagan countries that are to the west and to the east, they don't let go of their gods. You know what? If they were a Laker fan, they're a Laker fan. If they're a Celtic fan, they're a Celtic fan. They don't change over. Have you ever seen this? But watch this. Next verse. Be astonished, O heavens, at this. And be, what does it say? Horribly, ooh. Let's let that word soak in a little bit. Let it be what? Horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord. You know what they've seen? Here's what they've seen. They've seen these Israelites who are close to God. They haven't seen it in these other nations. These other nations, they stick with their God. But Israel didn't stick with their God. And you know what Israel did? Israel went from a godly nation where they served the living God to an adulterous nation where they served a dead God. Pastor, I don't understand. Why are you preaching this sermon and you're talking about going to a higher place? Oh, who asked that? Okay, that was a good question. Let me ask it again. Because you think it's like, oh, pastor's off track. He got off track. No, I didn't get off track. I'm on track. I thought you said we were going to talk about going higher to a place. Here's what I said. We're going to talk about what keeps you from going to a higher place. Can I tell you what keeps you going to a higher place? Holding on to sin that you won't let go of. Listen to me. You've been lied to. I can't talk about other pastors, but I can talk about this church. You're not going to be lied to in this church. Other pastors will talk about sin, and they'll talk about sin, and they'll talk about sin, and they'll talk about sin, like you don't have control over it. And they'll even say, you know what, casually, everybody sins every day. And then the people are just like, amen. Think about that. I mean, think about it. This is happening in churches in America all over the place. The pastor says, everybody sins every day. And the congregation says, amen to that. I don't want to say amen to that. Does God call you to holiness, but then not empower you to walk in holiness?
That's right. Come on, there it is.
Yeah. Is there? I got excited. According to the word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look it up, verse 13, write it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No sin has overtaken you. But that which with that sin, God will provide a way of escape.
Amen. Come on. Hallelujah.
What does that mean? What does that mean? Come on, somebody help me preach this. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means that you have a choice of what? Bingo! On the front row. Here's what that means. Let me translate. Very simply, it means you have a choice not to sin. The way of escape God has given you. Now, whether you take that way of escape or whether you don't, that's up to you. See, could it be that there's a higher place? Watch this. Could it be there's a higher place in just your relationship with God, and all you have to do is let go of a sin in your life? Could it be? Let me go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll start with verse 31. Start with verse 31. Let all bitterness, all wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. One version says this: get rid of all bitterness. Who get rid of all bitterness? Who's God talking to? Here, this is deep. This is deep. This is deep. Are you ready? Pastor George, this is deep. You can use this tonight. Are you ready? Does God have bitterness?
No.
Who's he talking to when he says get rid of all bitterness? He's talking to the Ephesians. That's who he's talking to. And he's talking to, how many know this goes past the Ephesians? God knew this was going to be spoken to us. He's speaking to us. Get rid of it. Yeah. My kids, uh, I, I, right? When they were teenagers, we'd be going to Magic Mountain, and Tyler would be with Pastor Paul, and you know what? And they'd start this dialogue, word for word of Dumb and Dumber. You know what? Megan would be with Tyler, word for word, whole captions of Elf. Right? You know what? Whole Shayla and Tyler, whole captions of the Grinch. How do they do that? How many know they watch the Grinch more than three times? Dumb and Dumber more than three times. Amen. Elf more than 38 times. Right? How do you get rid of all bitterness? Stop regurgitating how mad you are of your friend that stabbed you in the back. Stop it. Here, let me. Can I prove it to you? How many is something ever really important you forgot? Raise your hand if you ever forgot something. No, really, really important. And you ever had this happen? Somebody say, "Hey, remember when this happened?" And you're like, "I don't remember when that happened." Am I the only one? You know why? You know what I'm teaching you? You can forget stuff. I said you can forget stuff. You can make a decision today. You know what? That anytime. You know, you can start to control your mind where you won't let yourself go to that position. You just won't. You'll just go, nope, I'm not going to do it. And listen, it doesn't, for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, you know what? It takes some time. It's like muscle memory. It takes some time to do that. But trust what I'm saying. You can get to a place where you'll say, nope, I'm not going there. You can do it. Get rid of all bitterness. Back up, guys. Oh, wait. You're in the wrong. Oh, Ephesians. You guys in the back, you should be in Ephesians 4. I'm reading it out here. Ephesians 4, 31. Let all bitterness, get rid of all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. Evil speaking. You know what evil speaking is? When you're talking about somebody else behind their back, that is evil. Here, deep. Ready? Stop it! Stop it! Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. Put it away. Put it away. I love the words. Put it away. Everybody say, put it away. Say it five times. Ready? Put it away, put it away, put it away, put it away, put it away. The Bible says put it away. You know why? Here's this deep. Well, you know why? Because you can put it away. It's crazy teaching. Oh, yeah, you know, you're always gonna have a little, you know, everybody always has a little bit of anger. No, you make a decision. Do what you want. You know, here, do what you want with this word. But my Bible says all. Amen. You want to keep a little of your sin? You want to justify it? The Bible doesn't justify it. The Bible says you put it away. You do it. How many know God can't do that for you? Jesus already did all he could for us. Now we have to have a righteous mentality and start saying, I'm going to get rid of this stuff. Are you learning something today? You say, Pastor, what does that have to do with going higher? Listen to me. If you get rid of sin, you're going to be, sin is, it's the sin that so easily ensnares you. What's it ensnaring you from going to a higher place? If you would get rid of some sin, how many would confess there's some part of you, we'll talk about what part it is, that likes to sin? Do I have anybody? Thank you. One honest person. Two, I got a second one. Thank you for your honesty. Okay. You know what? There's a part of us that likes to sin. Amen. There's something that's getting, but that, if you cling on to that, then you won't let go of what God wants for you. There's something that happens. All eyes up here. There's something that happens that when you let go, I'll show it to you in the Bible. It's spiritual, that you have a tendency to cling on to God. That if you won't let go, you'll stay in your bondage. You've heard this adage, and it's a trick, and they'll have a little jar, and in that jar they'll put a peanut, and the monkeys will come, and the jar will be captured. It'll be chained. And the monkey will come, and he'll put his hand, and it's just, the opening's just big enough for the monkey to put his hand in the jar. And he gets in hand, and then he closes his hand around that peanut. Now he's got the peanut. And the one that wants to capture the monkey comes to capture him. And all he has to do, because the monkey's quick, all he has to do is let go of the peanut, get his hand out, and scamper off. And every time, the monkey's caught. You know why? Because he won't let go of the peanut. That's what Satan has done to us. Listen, there's a higher place that God wants you to go, but you'll never get there without letting go. And God is there. He's on the trapeze. He's saying, I'll catch you, I'll catch you, but I can't catch you till you let go of that. Amen. Verse 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God has forgiven you. Guys in the back, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Therefore, lay aside, you see it again? Lay aside, get rid of it, lay aside what? All. Oh, you see it again? No, but everybody has to. See, these words just aren't in the Bible. Stop accepting them from these internet theologians that aren't teaching you the Word of God. It's teaching you it's okay. It's not okay. We need to walk in righteousness. We need to desire righteousness. We need to desire the things of God. We need to not think, oh, yeah, but everybody knows, everybody sins. Oh, excuse me, what verse is that in your Bible? Because my Bible says stuff like this all throughout the Bible. Therefore, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, evil, and all evil speaking. Oh, there it is again. But watch this. Watch what it does here. Watch this. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word. What comes first, verse 1 or verse 2? Verse 1, lay it aside. When you lay it aside, trust me, this is spiritual. I could teach this. I could show you 8 other places where this happens. Oh, I just quote one to you. Acts, repent. The times of refreshing might come. It's all throughout the Word of God. First, you make a decision. I'm going to get rid of sin. And there's this opening to the richness of God. You know what it is? It's a higher place. And until you let go of that lower, you can't get the higher. But as soon as you let go of the lower, it frees up your hands. And God says, look, here's Romans. I could do this all day long. Romans, you know what? To whom you become slave to whom you give yourself to, you become slave to. Watch this. Unto unrighteousness, Romans says, or unto righteousness. When you let go of this, you're free to, watch what happens. When you let go of this, here's what's going to happen with your desires. It's going to go, there's going to be a desire for the things of God. Come on. Amen. When Shayla was little, I mean little, like 1 day old, that little, we didn't know what we were doing. We're like, look, a baby, what do we know? You know what I mean? We don't know what we're doing. And we thought we had fed her. And she's in the hospital, and she's just crying and crying and crying. And we're like, what do we do? Because we didn't know what to do. I never forget this. The nurse comes in, puts her pinky in Shayla's mouth. And old school nurse. And the nurse just starts, and Shayla just starts sucking on it. And then she looks at it and says, oh, she's just hungry. Amen. She latches onto her mom's breast. And what do we have? Quiet. there's this place of contentment that no one else has, that you can't get anywhere else. Remember in Joshua, it said unprofitable, unprofitable a couple times, because that sin will not profit you. It's fool's gold. It's the delusion that it's going to satisfy, but there's no satisfaction. It's Jesus talking to the woman at the well and saying, I've got this water that is going to completely satisfy you. It's that baby who wants, it's you and me. And once we will have the integrity to stop blaming God, start to be grateful for what he's done to us, start to recognize sin is sin, and I can stop it if I want to, and let go of it, you will just attach yourself to God. And there will be this contentment like never before. Now, I don't know who this message is for, and I don't know what your sin is, but before we dismiss, without any criticism, without anybody looking around, and sometimes we think, oh, somebody's looking. For all I know, your sin is, you know what, you threw a gum wrapper on the ground the other day. I don't know. Or maybe it's something huge. But listen, I'm not judging you. You know who I'm going to judge right now? Me. Because the Holy Spirit is dealing with me. But if that's you, I want you to raise your hand right now and say, Pastor, the Holy Spirit has nailed me. And I've held on to some sin that I shouldn't hold on to. If that's you, all over the room, be quick. Get your hand up. I want to pray with you. Father, thank you for these hands that are up today. I pray that we would allow the word of God to convict us and to correct us. I thank you that we will look at the correction as you loving us, because that's what it is. Help us, not tomorrow, not the next day, not in a month, but today, let go of that sin. And I thank you as we do, we'll feel, listen to this prayer, we'll feel the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We'll feel a contentment like we've never felt, or that we haven't felt in a long time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right. I'm glad you came today. Man. Can I remind you a couple things before we leave? God has fed us richly by the word of God. And how many know there's people in the back that we can be fed richly in our stomachs today? And how many know that all that goes to the kids' ministry? So we have super nachos. You know what? We have slushies of all flavors. We have frappuccinos. And we have some all kinds of desserts back there that are delicioso. But if you will take some time, listen, but don't just run out. Even think, you know where I have lunch on Sunday? You know where I have dinner on Wednesday? Sometimes on Sunday I have lunch and dinner here because I take some stuff home. Amen. But get to a pattern where this is where you are supporting the kids' ministry, because all that money goes to the kids' fun zone. How many know we're starting working on the kids' fun zone even this week? Amen. That's exciting. We'll show it to you quickly, soon. Not today. But one more thing. I think I said this, but I want to make sure I said this. Next Wednesday, you're going to bring your Bible to church. And what else are you going to bring to church? Let's do that a better job. We're going to bring our Bible to church. And what else are we bringing? Yeah, candy. Bring a bag of candy and make sure they're individually wrapped. And then next Sunday. Well, I'll see you next Sunday. Oh, I look forward to it. If you're here for the first time, Tamara and I want to welcome you. We want to thank you for coming to church, and what a blessing that is. So that's good. Did I forget something? Oh, elders. I'm sorry. So, I did forget something, didn't I? Okay. So thank you for being obedient. Many times in service like this, we recognize there's not a connection. We believe that prayer is really important. For some of you, you need to be prayed for. You need to be prayed with. There's things heavy on your heart that you just need to share. These are elders in our church, and we want to pray with you. If they're all busy, just sitting in the front row, just wait a couple minutes, and they'll be available, and they'll be here as long as you want to pray. Amen? Amen. Don't forget tonight, Esperanza, 6 o'clock. Yeah. Amen. It's going to be a good service. Going to be good service. And Wednesday, we want to invite you back Wednesday. Can I pray a blessing before I dismiss you? Father, may the Lord bless us and keep us. May His face shine upon us. May He be gracious to us. May His countenance be upon us. May we be quick to not just be hearers of the word, but may we be doers of the word. Now, Father, bless this food that we're about to partake to our bodies, and bless those who prepared it. Father, thank you that this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.